Welcome to the latest episode of the IDEA podcast from the Irish Development Education Association. I'm your host, Eimear Green, and today I'm going to be chatting with John Simmons, who is former director of global brand consultancy Interbrand. In the course of his career, John has led brand programmes for companies as diverse as Guinness, AIB, Marks & Spencer's, Waterstones, Royal Mail and the National Theatre. He has also written many books on creative writing for business and is a founding director of 26, a non-profit aimed at spreading the joy of language and good writing. I hope you enjoy. Today, the podcast will be focusing on communications. So I suppose a good place to start, and a question that many of us ask ourselves in many areas of our life, is what is the key to effective communication?
I'd say it's a lot to do with authenticity. So it's being true to yourself when you communicate. Now, people in organizations, and when we talk about communicating, that's the direction we normally come from, we'll think they have to communicate on behalf of organization, and therefore that organization's own values and words are what you have to be true to. And I couldn't argue against that, but I would argue that they would come out more effectively if you are also true to yourself as a communicator, as an individual human being. So if your own personality is informing the words, those words will become much more alive. They will connect with people in a more effective way, because you'll be reaching out as one human being to another human being rather than as an organization to an organization. And too often the words that you see, and we've all experienced this, we come across words from a company or from a government department or whatever it might be, where it just doesn't seem there's any real human being involved in the process of communication. So I would encourage the authenticity of putting yourself into your writing as much as you possibly can. And then that will improve the effectiveness of the writing.
So that's interesting that you're talking about authenticity in your communication, John. You were talking about connection, and I suppose some of us might wonder, how do you establish that connection with somebody else through your communication? Whilst we might think that what we're saying makes perfect sense to us and that the language we use should be understood by everybody, we can be talking to somebody and they might be sitting across from us looking at us kind of with a blank face, or just maybe not really engaged with what we're saying. How do you think that we can maybe overcome some of these blocks in how we connect with people?
I think the idea of connection is very important to the way that I think. I've always had this almost as a mantra, but I've adopted the words that are the epigraph to Ian Forster's novel, Howard's End. Just two simple words, only connect. And they seem to me quite profound words. If you take them and apply them to your life as well as to your writing, then they really have resonance, certainly for me. So they lead you towards the notion that I think is very important, but perhaps the most important quality for any writer to have is the quality of empathy. So you have to try to understand and sympathize and connect emotionally with the person that you are writing for or to. And you won't obviously completely understand that person, particularly if you haven't met them. You might be communicating to thousands of people at a time, mm-hmm. but you have to trust that there will be a human connection that creates a bridge from the communication you're making, the words that you are creating, and that will be heard or that will be read by the person on the receiving end of it. And if you're doing your job well, there will be a strong sense of a human being in it. So this is the way we share a universal bond, really, through the emotions that we each share. And so you reach out in that way. you craft your words in that way. And I'm speaking, I am speaking as a communicator who sees himself primarily as a writer, because words are so central to communication anyway. And through those words, if they are true, true to yourself in the first place, they will then become true to the person receiving them. They will acknowledge and understand that there is an authenticity in the way that you are speaking, the way that you are writing, and they will be able to connect with that. So it's something that you need to do and you need to practice, and we all need to become better at. But it's natural to us at the same time. You know, we function as human beings by getting on with other people. Mm-hmm. If we don't, then, well, it's rather sad. There we are. So that for me is extremely important. That's a only connect mantra, if you like. And words do that. So you move on from one word to another. You link one word to another. And you see that the way that they can shift. And you use that and you enjoy that as well. There's a great joy in words and in writing, I find, that you can gain that pleasure from writing. And that communicates itself to other people as well. So people receive words that have been written with joy and that are understood and received more joyfully as a result. And it's true for all the emotions as well. The Robert Frost quotation that I used in the workshop this morning, that is often quoted by Jamie Jones, one of my colleagues: "No tears in the writer, no tears in the reader." So mm-hmm. I think that's really true. The writer has to feel the emotion in order to communicate that emotion. Mm-hmm. If there's no emotion there, there's no emotion received. And we convince each other, we persuade each other through emotions. Facts are important. You need to get the rational aspects of your communication right. But facts are really reinforcing in any argument. How do you really persuade people? It's by making that emotional connection. And then the facts, as you present them, will reinforce that and provide further evidence that what you've written is true and needs to be acted on.
So you were talking about there about making connections with people on a human level and engaging people emotionally and bringing emotion into your communication. And I know, having just done a workshop with you, which was a fantastic experience, the importance of stories and storytelling to communication and to communicating with people and creating that connection and creating that emotion. Now, coming from a culture here in Ireland where I think storytelling is very much part of that culture, I think that sometimes we can be a bit nervous about bringing that technique, I think, into our communications and maybe a little bit cautious about it. Can you maybe talk a little bit about storytelling and how that can form or how that can be incorporated into our professional lives and our professional work and how we communicate around that?
Yeah, I'm always pleased to be in Ireland because, as you indicate there, the crack is good. It is a nation of storytellers. But sometimes, and I've discovered this from working with a number of different Irish companies and institutions, that there is the reluctance that you talk about. People feel they shouldn't be storytelling in quite that way. And I think it's understandable, really. If we think back to our own childhoods, we love stories. We love growing up with stories. Mm-hmm. What do parents, or good parents, I should say, do with their children before they go to sleep? They read them a story. Mm-hmm. There's something reassuring and comforting about a story. But at the same time, your parents might well say to you as a child, as mine did sometimes, and they never meant any harm by this, but they might say, "Oh, stop telling stories," mm-hmm. By which they meant that I wasn't telling the truth. and they might well have been right. So, but it was their way of saying, you know, in childhood language, "Stop telling fibs. you're telling stories, it's not quite true. And so there is that association that people have that stories are not quite the truth. I wouldn't accept that. Having grown into adulthood and having written a lot of stories myself, having written novels, I really love stories and I value the power of storytelling. And I think you get actually a more essential truth from a story than you do from a sort of non-fiction approach to things. But I am talking about true stories here in the business world, in the world of work. And I often work with companies and organizations, and they would explain to me or perhaps give me a PowerPoint presentation or something of, well, this is what we're all about as an organization. And they would put up first slide that talks about their vision and then their mission and their values and all these things, which is essential information. It's something that all organizations have to do. But sometimes it doesn't really connect. It doesn't communicate with me as a person. So to find out what they really mean, what's the meaning behind these words that they put up on the screen, I would say to them, well, what is it that you do then? So when, give me an example from your day-to-day work. How do you actually operate? And they'll talk to me about what they do. They'll tell a story, effectively. So it might be something simple. We're not talking about grand stories here that spin off into 100-page literary masterpieces or anything like that. Yeah. It's the everyday stuff. People come into work, they do their job. What is that job about? What are they trying to achieve with that job? And you find out better what they're trying to achieve, which for me, the purpose of an organization is absolutely crucial. So you understand more about the purpose by sitting down with someone who is just an ordinary member of the team, and they talk about what they do as a member of that team, and they would then be able to relate that, or you will be able to relate that to the grander purpose that is set out in those PowerPoint presentations. But you actually take in the meaning much more personally, much more as an individual from that explanation, from hearing a story, than if you're just presented with the objective view that comes from the words themselves.
That is really interesting. I think really useful to everybody who's listening here today. As I was saying earlier, I've just been on one of your courses, but for many of our members who weren't able to make it, do you have any tips or any piece of advice to keep in mind when they are trying to write the story of the work that they do, or they are trying to think about the stories that they can use in their communication with others who might be outside of the sector?
I think one of my principles is to write as far as possible as you would speak. So that's not to mean that if you took a transcription of this conversation, for example, every word would be shaped into beautiful sentences. It's not like that. When we speak, we put, you know, we ramble a bit, inevitably. There are all the ums and ahs.
Yeah.
So I would say write as you would speak, but know that you've got a chance to edit it afterwards. So you can edit it and shape it and polish it and make sure it comes out in the way that you really intended. And editing is a vital process for me as a writer. So what can you do? Well, what I mean by editing is you ask yourselves questions about something that you've written. And the questions you ask is are along the lines of, have I used the right word there? Have I got this in the right order? What happens if I put that third sentence as the first sentence? Does that really fundamentally alter things? Does it improve things? And the objective that you have with editing is to improve any writing that you've produced. And that is an essential stage that people often forget. We sit there these days because we've got electronic communication and we can tap away at a keyboard. We can send off an email and there it is, whoosh, it's gone, it's done. We need to get out of that habit of thinking. And so it's not just an email. Your job could depend on that email. So it's worth looking at. It's before you send it out, read it through and see if you can make it better. Because if you can make it a better email, it will have a better effect on the person who's reading that email. And if you're trying to get them to do something, the chances of them doing something that are actually what you want them to do are going to be improved if you put the effort into your writing of that email and thought through how you might want them to respond. So it comes back to that question of empathy again. It's just trying to put yourself in the situation of the other person, understanding what their needs are, what their thinking might be, and trying to anticipate that. And through the anticipation, you construct the words that will hopefully come out in the right way.
And I know, just one final thing. You mentioned a couple of times simplicity and simplicity in communications. And I know that there are challenges always, I think, for everybody working across different sectors. And I know for our own sector within development education, that the challenge of language and the challenge of jargon and language is very sector specific, and overcoming that and sometimes not being used to communicating about what you do without that language or without the structure of that, I suppose, language paradigm within which we kind of operate with each other. Do you have any advice for people on how to maybe break free of that? Because I know it's something that can be a bit daunting, and I know sometimes it can take a little bit of time, but if there's any maybe tips that you might have that we can share with people.
I would think of the golfer. I think it was Gary Player, but I'm not absolutely sure, who said, the harder I practice, the better I get. You know. And there is a lot in that. And when you talk about simplicity, I do believe absolutely in simplicity. But having said that, I think the hardest thing to achieve is simplicity. You really have to work at it. It's, you know, simplicity probably isn't the first thing that comes off the top of your head. And so there is a craft to writing. You have to work at it. You have to challenge it. You have to edit your writing. And in a funny, counterintuitive way, one of the tips that I would give is to abandon the editing process by doing a piece of what I call automatic writing. So automatic writing is where you start writing and you don't stop. The pen doesn't come off the paper. I do encourage people to write in this way, just by hand onto paper rather than tapping away at a keyboard. You need the keyboard later to transfer things, but get your thoughts directly onto paper. It's a more productive form of communication, I think. So set yourself a subject to think about. It might be a subject you think you don't know very much about, so you're a bit daunted by that. But write automatically for 5 minutes, stream of consciousness stuff in the style of James Joyce or whatever. And don't worry about editing. Put the words down. Don't do any crossing out. If you get stuck and you don't know what's going to come next, ask yourself a question, and then you can respond in your writing to that question, and you set off on a new train of thought. And we're not going to come up with a perfectly polished essay as the result of this piece of writing. You might come up with complete gibberish. That's okay, because I would argue it's almost certainly not going to be complete gibberish. There might be one thing in there. It might be one word, it might be one phrase, but that phrase would shine out from the writing. And that could be the starting point that you then develop. And you've just spent 5 minutes on this. 5 minutes in a working day is not very long at all. And so if you can make that 5 minutes really productive in this way, it gets your head into that writing space. And if you can do it daily, or it's a hard discipline to do it daily, but if you can do it regularly and get into the habit of writing, then I think that's a valuable thing that you could do. Because for a lot of people who are at work, they've got out of the habit of writing. They've become resistant to it, and they tell themselves that terrible thing. They say, I can't write. I reject that. I say, oh, yes, you can. You can write. You are a writer. We're all writers. We've got these amazing resources available to us that are so freely available. You don't have to pay loads of money to bring down words and use words well. Mm-hmm. So do that. Let it become a regular habit. And the more you practice, the better you will get at it. The more naturally it will come, your words will become more fluent and they'll become more persuasive. You'll become better at your job. You'll become a better communicator because your words will reach up from you as one human being to another human being. And the most important thing that I can say is it works. Do it because it works.
And on that note, thank you very much, John, for joining us and for sharing your expertise with us here today. And we hope to have you back in Dublin again soon.
I hope to be back.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed this episode. Don't forget to check out our website for more. Until the next time.